This podcast episode is powered by AfriPods, the world's number one podcasting platform for African stories.
This is Make Money, a podcast series by Business Daily Africa, where we get to speak to experts on practical tips, tools and tricks to not only make, but also grow your money. My name is Kefa Muirore. Today we are talking fixed income, and to introduce Mr. Churchill Ogutu, you are an economist at IC Asset Managers. First things first is to just have a view of how did you get into this fixed income space, just before we continue.
Thanks, Kefa. It's been a journey for like 7 years so far, but it started at my previous place where I was the head of research at Genghis Capital, and I used to cover macro and fixed income. It dovetails quite well, looking at the macroeconomic environment and the impact on all the asset classes, but mainly on the fixed income. So that's what I used to cover. And right now at IC Asset Managers, I just look at fixed income assets across the African continent.
Yeah. And just diving in straight to the subject, there are a lot of names for it. There are treasury bonds, some call them government securities, some will describe it as fixed income. Maybe we are to blanket it for me, just to understand what should I call them and what would we be talking about when you're talking fixed income?
Yeah, correct. There are a number of names out there, but the asset class by itself is a fixed income, whereby the fixed is that most of these, the bonds, they issue income on a periodic basis, be it 6 months, be it 1 year, and also at the end of the maturity. So that's where the overarching name comes from, the fixed income. But underneath, there are a number of what we call now the different subclasses. That's treasury bonds and also treasury bills. But for the context of this conversation, we're looking at treasury bonds, whereby it's issued by a government, could be issued by a corporate, in the sense as they raise money. At least if you look at the government side, they have a budget deficit. The budget deficit is basically they have a budget in terms of the expenditure, mm-hmm. but then the revenues fall short of the meeting that expenditure. Yeah. So they have to plug the deficit. They borrow externally and also domestically. So mm-hmm. one of the instruments that they borrow either externally or internally is now through bonds. If they borrow externally, becomes a euro bond. If they borrow internally, treasury bonds. But basically, those are bonds mm-hmm. that government issues, at least to plug its fiscal yeah. deficit. Yeah.
So whenever we see the big headlines in the papers of government to borrow this and this, so that in itself is opportunity. And this would be what you're talking about, these instruments that you're describing. This would define what we say government borrowing.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if you look at it, just to break it down further, if there's a government is borrowing 700 billion, you find that it borrows externally. But some of the borrowing instruments are loans by be it IMF, World Bank, and all these other countries that Kenya borrows money from. Mm. But also it can borrow bonds. By borrowing bonds, it has to go to the capital markets. That's where the intermediary is, and that's where the investors come in. So if you're an investor and you see each and every month there's a prospectus that is floated by the government. So that's an opportunity for people at least to participate, at least in the other side of investing. Yes, the government is borrowing, it needs money, but also from an investor perspective, that's also an opportunity to get some decent investment.
All right. So I've sat back at home. I've seen that the government is borrowing an X amount of billions. I've seen the prospectus you're talking about. It became maybe to raise 50 billion in a certain month. For me now, how do I make that next step and actually be part of this? How do I not just sit there and watch this opportunity go away? How do I get started in essence?
Okay, so first and foremost, you need to have a CDS account by the Central Bank of Kenya. It's a unique identifier if you are participating in the context of the government, treasury bonds, opportunities. So once you've opened that, next step, whenever they do floating a bond, so either you can just go directly, there's a treasury mobile direct whereby you can be able to invest directly, or you can go through an intermediary. This is your commercial bank. This could also be an investment bank or a stock brokers. So the headache is upon them. So it's upon you just to tell them how much you want to invest mm-hmm. if you're using through an intermediary. Mm-hmm. Directly, you can also use through the mobile. So in terms of investments, there's a minimum investment. For treasury bills, it's 100,000 shillings. We have infrastructure bonds. Basically, these are tax-free bonds in the context of, in the Kenyan context.
Yep.
So the minimum investment over there is 100,000 shillings. And then we have what you call the benchmark bonds. Benchmark, the government issues bonds with different tenors, starting from a 2-year, 5-year, 10-year, 15-year, 20, 25. So those are benchmark bonds that the government floats. So investing in the benchmark bonds, you have a minimum investment of 50,000 shillings. So those are some of the things that you need to be aware as a starting point as you get into investing into treasury bonds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So probably I can take it the next level, participating at the primary market. So primary market, it's like an IPO if you look at it from the equities world. But now primary market here is basically via an auction. I know the media, or if you look, flip the pages on Mondays, it's yeah. pages upon pages of auctions of properties, be it vehicles or be it real estate.
Yeah.
So the same principle kind of works even if you look at the primary market for treasury bonds in the Kenyan context, whereby as the government floats, say, 50 billion, it invites bids from investors. So rather than having a highest bidder, as is the case in the auction of vehicles that we know of.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So here, they look at the bids that come in, and then they do like a sort of weighted average of the bids. So let me dig deeper into this issue. So in fixed income market, there are two sides of the coin in terms of pricing.
Mm-hmm.
You can price it the amount in Kenya shillings that you'll invest, or if you flip it around, you can invest in terms of the yields. So let me give you an example, Kefa. So
yeah.
assuming you go to a bank, you borrow 100 shillings,
mm-hmm.
and that bank gives you the 100 shillings at a 5% interest,
yeah.
and it's for 1 year. Yeah. So at the end of 1 year, you'll be paying 105
shillings. Yeah.
Good. So let's take it further. Imagine that there are three scenarios
mm-hmm.
of people who have gone to the bank to borrow, and then at the end of 1 year, they are repaying 105 shillings.
Yeah.
So one of them borrows, but at a rate of 5%. And at the end of 1 year, they pay back the bank 105 shillings.
Yeah. Yes.
So the bank will give them 100 shillings at a rate of 5%, 105.
Yeah.
Second scenario, somebody borrows, say, 98 shillings
mm-hmm.
at an interest of 7%.
Yeah.
At the end of 1 year, 105.
Yep.
And then the third one, somebody borrows 102, interest of 3% at 105. So those three scenarios, pretty much, if you look at it from the fixed income or the treasury bonds market, when people go to bid, there are people who will pay at a premium. Remember the scenario that I've just pointed out,
mm-hmm.
Somebody who has an interest of 3% borrows, who is given at an interest of 3%, but borrows 102. So at the end of the year, it's 105.
Mm-hmm.
So that 102 is kind of a premium. And then this person who borrows at 100 is at par.
At par, yeah.
And then there's the guy who borrowed at 98, so discount.
Yeah.
So all this discount, premium, par, and premium, it will be known at the end of the auction. Because remember, the government has floated a bond.
Yeah. So they've asked for 50 billion, and 50 everyone billion is coming in with
coming
whatever
in with
they have.
Different bids, yeah.
yeah
the
yeah.
guys who bid competitively.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So based on this bids that come to the market, say ranging from between 12% to say 15%,
yeah.
say probably the government may say all these guys whose bids were above 14% to 15%, they remove them, and then they work with between the 12% to 14%, and
mm-hmm.
then they get an average bid.
Yeah.
So that average bid becomes the coupon for the bond. So you find that the people whose bids were higher than that particular average
yeah.
or the coupon,
yeah.
they end up paying a premium. So if you're investing for 100,000,
yeah.
but say the weighted average comes to around 10%,
mm-hmm.
as an example,
yeah.
but your bid was 11%.
Yeah.
So it means that now you'll be paying at a discount.
Mm-hmm.
What I was telling you with
yeah.
that example, 98,
yeah.
and then you get at 7%, like things like that, so
mm-hmm.
at a discount. But then somebody potentially had borrowed at yield was lower than that 10%, so at 8% or 9%.
Yeah.
So they'll be paying at
mm-hmm.
at a discount.
So, yeah. I like the way you use the example on
mm-hmm.
looking at it from a bank loan. So in
yeah.
this instance, now it would be the government borrowing. So
it
that
be, yeah.
I'm the one bringing my 100,000.
Yeah,
and how much is the government willing
yes, yeah.
to pay for?
So for your
for my 100,000, yeah.
So looking at an example of an
mm-hmm.
infrastructure bond, the
yeah.
minimum investment is 100,000. So but the price you'll pay, if you are not getting there competitively,
yeah.
it will be either at par, which will mean you'll give government 100,000
yeah.
for the duration of that
maturity
of the
maturity,
bond.
So say a year.
Yes, yes. And if you say the yield is at 10%, but at the point where you are auction, at the auction process, your bid was at 11%.
Yeah.
So it means that if you flip it, the amount that you'll give the government, it will be around 98,000 or 95,000 shillings.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's the amount you'll invest. But ultimately, whatever the price you paid at this point, the bond ensures that each and every 6 months you'll get some investment. Say if the bond is 10% coupon rate, and you invest say 100,000, so that means that every 6 months you'll be getting 5,000 shillings, and if the bond is for 10 years, you'll be getting 5,000 shillings every six months.
So June and December for the next 10-year period.
And then afterwards, you'll get back your 100,000, irrespective of the amount that you invested in them.
So just to move on, there's a bit of a misconception around treasury bonds that these are big boys' playground. A lot of people, like from the examples you just explained, a lot of people think, I can't fathom, I can't walk my way around, you know, the offers, and I might as well sit. Is it something that you'd rate mostly for an individual retail investor, as we call them? Is it something that they can also participate in, or is it in the in the era, especially when you're talking of big bids, the government is looking for 100B, 50B. It's always the big bids, but I'm there with my 100,000. So can I still play part, and is there still a chance for me in terms of earning an interest of that?
Yeah, you can still be part and parcel of that. It's not a big boys play only. I mean, you can be part and parcel of treasury bonds.
Yeah.
The thing is, probably the thing that could be prohibitive for people who are starting the investment or people who are still young is the minimum investment. If you look at 50,000 to invest into the benchmark bonds, might be a bit prohibitive to some of the people who are starting or not coming in into the investment place. So potentially, then they can start looking at other investment opportunities, or probably start with savings slightly, and then you can reach that 50,000, and then you can now start getting into the treasury bonds landscape here. But ultimately, I mean, that's a misconception. There are people, a number of people, retail investors right now, there's that opportunity of getting into the treasury bonds market, and more so the infrastructure bonds. That's where we see lots of interest from retailers because of its tax-free component.
And I feel like, having conversation even previously, there's a lot of issue with the minimum threshold that's allowed. I think you just mentioned for 50,000 for bonds. And if you look at other instruments, they might be offering lower, but a lot of people are, they quite feel prohibited by what they have, not necessarily what's allowed, because 50,000 for some might be easy to get to, for some might be difficult. But they always feel, sometimes even with the 50K, they feel it's too little. Is it just, you know, starting out with that and, you know, growing from there? Or do you wait till you are able to put a name on that bond?
Yeah, you can start small. You can even start with that 50,000 shillings, and then you can continue whenever you can continue, depending on your risk appetite, depending on your ability or capability of raising so much money.
Yeah.
So, but that 50,000 shillings is the minimum. But then the point is, as you get the coupons, which comes in every 6 months, you can either decide to reinvest it back, either to another bond that comes in. So it's an element of, at the side, just continued discipline in terms of savings, such that by the time the coupon comes in and you want to reinvest it, remember there's a minimum amount of investment that you might need to think about here. But now that is around in the range of 50,000 thereabouts. So at least you have some buffers. But at the interim, it just makes you to be disciplined in savings. And after you've managed to save, and then you can now be able to bring it back to treasury bonds. And speaking of which, to address the issue around the prohibitive minimum investment.
Yeah.
It was used to be a Makiba bond. It was there for like 3 years.
Yeah.
There are some plans now to bring it back on board, but that one was now speaking to the people at the lower end of the pyramid, because the minimum investment for Makiba mobile-based bank loan bond was 3,000 shillings.
Yeah.
And that one had an, it was more like a savings, because the interest, it didn't have the yields and all that. So you invest every 5 months, you, every 6 months you get 5% of your investment, because every year it was at 10%.
Yep.
So that one was more disciplined in terms of savings. So probably if the government now brings us back to the market, we could see appetite for people who perhaps they are seeing 50,000 as a bit too prohibitive,
yeah,
but that could be a good starting point.
Mm-hmm. And for someone who might wonder, do you have anything else around fixed income that's beyond government security, or what would be just lending your money to government? Would there be other instruments? Maybe you would talk to that.
I think we've talked too much about the government securities, the treasury bonds,
mm-hmm,
but also we have the corporate bonds, whereby the corporates, either listed or unlisted, they come to the capital markets as a way of raising some capital. So we've had, even in the Kenya market, a number of issues in the corporate bond segment,
mm-hmm,
but that notwithstanding, there's a long shadow that has been cast in that particular segment. We had two banks, 2015, 2016, who, after raising their corporate bonds, they defaulted. So there's still institutional memory around the corporate bond market in the Kenyan context.
Yeah.
But if you look across, even in the African continent, there are a number of markets whereby corporate bonds market is quite vibrant. It's really, really vibrant here. So, yeah, it's not just on the government securities, but mm-hmm, also on the corporate bond segment.
Yeah. All right. So coming back to the government security side, I think now it's time, just before winding up, you have a conversation right around some of what people might feel as cons. And I just have two pointers over here. And the first one is about the risk-free nature. I think a lot of people tend to associate with the government, it will always pay. But I'm sure from the examples we've seen, Ghana, maybe in other countries, that people are hearing of government defaulting. Of course, Kenya, we are yet to default ever on our repayments. And of course, there's that confidence that I can give government my money and expect it back. Have we overused that word? Have I even myself perhaps overused, always referring them to as very risk-free instruments?
Yeah, that one, I think that whole notion that risk-free, the government is a risk-free borrower, has been debunked, looking at events that even closer home in the African continent in the last 1 year or so. But if you look at the Kenyan context, I mean, what you've seen so far playing out is now the corporate issuers are the ones who are not, as they have been risky, but definitely corporate borrowers, they have an element of credit risk attached to them. And hence, you've seen the number of the two issuers, bank issuers back then, now defaulting on their corporate bonds. So if you look at even the government, on the government side, yes, there's so much pressure. And if you look at the analogy between Ghana, where it was, and the events that led it to default on its locally issued treasury bonds, and where we are more or less charting the same path.
Mm-hmm.
Their government, their debt servicing costs, it was quite biased towards servicing the local debt,
yeah,
as opposed to external debt,
mm-hmm,
similar to the Kenyan case. So it's still a time bomb if events for the next 1 year or 2 years or so, or if you continue the same trajectory,
mm-hmm,
it will be quite a precarious state. And we just hope that we don't end up in, mm-hmm, the Ghanaian, mm-hmm, situation.
Yeah. And just a question on the same then. As I invest in treasury bonds, say I take a chance with my 100,000, do I start looking at some of those metrics? How much is the government using service debt, how much of revenue is it collecting, how much obligations does it have? Are those things I should be looking at now as an investor when you talk of, well, it's not as risk-free as many would want it to be? Are those things you look at, or do you sometimes just take the opportunity, load your 1M in a 5-year bond and so on?
Yeah, definitely. And this is, at least from the institutional investors, those are some of the things that they keep an eye on. They have to look at how the government is, government fiscal outturn is at any given moment,
mm-hmm,
and even the outlook for the government public finance is, because that also gives them a view when they come to borrow, will they demand some premium or they'll not demand some premium. So case in point, if the budget, we are heading into the budget season, we'll hear the budget sometime in the budget papers will be published next month. And then around June, we'll see the Minister of Finance tabling the budget. So now we are looking at 720 billion in the next financial year in borrowing. And in terms of domestic borrowing, could be lower than, I think it's around something under 400 billion,
yeah,
if I'm not mistaken. And right now we are at a point whereby it's 532 billion. So those are indicative that getting into the next financial year, the borrowing needs by the government may not be as much as this current financial year. So in terms of institutional investors, how they look at things is that, okay, probably we might just continue pricing. When the government floats a bond, we continue the pricing as it is right now.
Yeah.
But in the event that governments wants to borrow, say, 600 billion from domestic markets,
mm-hmm.
and previously it's been borrowing something like 400 billion, it will tell even investors that, hey, the government is a bit...
Maybe quite a bit tight. Yeah.
It's quite, fiscal constraints.
Yeah.
So we may need to demand some premium if they come to the market. So things mm-hmm. like that. So what the institutional investors are doing, also retail investors needs to keep an eye on, yeah.
On those same metrics.
On those same metrics. All right. Yeah.
So just to wrap it up, I think I would like us just to wrap the conversation with just yet another criticism which would make a good ending point to this conversation. There are those people who wonder or question treasury bond investments worth it. Would I rather put my money elsewhere? The people just feel it's a very comfortable way or easy way of just parking your money in government, let them, you know, handle the budget, their business, and pay you an interest at the end of the day. I mean, how would you respond to this? Is it a worthy investment in essence? Are you making some impact for those who might be interested in not just earning a return, but also making an impact in terms of where they're putting their money?
Yeah, it's a worthwhile investment. Case in point, if you look at the other asset class that investors have in the Kenyan market, mainly is equities. But equities tends to be a bit risky. Case in point, look at the telco shares starting at the start of this year up until right now. So from a capital appreciation perspective, unless the government defaults, at least is a bit, it's a less risky investment. So if you're getting into a bond, say the infrastructure bond that closed at some point this month, it's close to 14.4%. You're guaranteed that in any given year, you'll get 14.4% on investment from the government. So that's mm-hmm. a guaranteed investment year. The only flip side is that it caps you at 14.4%. There could be an opportunity within the equity space, say Safaricom starts rallying to, I don't know where it will be. I haven't looked at that stock for a long while. If it rallies from, say, 16 shillings at some point last week to 32 shillings, that's a cool 100% increase on your investment on one stock here.
Yeah.
So, but now, if you look at infrastructure bond or in the fixed income, you're just fixed. The amount of income you can get is kind of fixed
mm-hmm.
here.
Mm-hmm. All right. And that has been Churchill Ogutu. And as always, the goal is to ensure that you're knowledgeable when working through these investments landscape. And so next we'll be talking about equities, and this will be all about the stock market. Stay tuned.
Inaendeshwa na AfriPods.